If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hey, welcome back to Crimson Cone Podcast. I'm the great and powerful Mr. E.
I think you topped out your mic.
I did, definitely.
I'm J-Clone 26.
Are you?
Yeah, I just rub Vicks all in my nose.
Your nose?
Yeah, in it. I do it in it and around it. I just shove it up in there. I don't care.
We're redoing the lost episode.
We're redoing the lost one?
Yeah, one of the lost ones.
Which one did we lose? What season?
Oh, it was like three, I think. The Beast of Jevudan.
We lost that?
Yeah. We don't have, it's not, yes.
It's not in Patreon?
No.
It's not in.
You looked a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Beast of Jevudan. Let's see what you remember. Tell me about the Beast of Jevudan.
I only can remember the thing we did on Tony's show.
The Shock of Warcon?
Yeah.
Or the Wahila. We did the both.
Shock of Warcon, because I think it sounds like the same.
Jevudan, Shock of Warcon.
Yeah, it's all like the same thing.
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan. Tetmujin, I think was his real name.
Ted Nugent?
No, Tetmujin. I think that's what it was. But Ted Nugent sounds pretty cool, too. If Genghis Khan was Ted Nugent.
The same person.
It could have been, I guess. I'm trying to think of a good Ted Nugent reference. I don't know his music that well. Hey, baby.
Music. Is he known for music?
Ted Nugent?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you known him for?
Hunting.
Oh, no. He's definitely known more for his music.
No, not in any of the circles I'm in.
Cat scratch fever. Da-na-na.
No, because the only time I've ever met him and stuff like that has all been in hunting stuff.
Is he nice?
Yeah. He's kind of crazy, but he's nice. He's
yeah,
fine.
I would say
high
that.
Energy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Kind of like how I would describe Wild Bill to people. Is that he is how he is.
Huh, okay.
Like yeah, that, there's no like
you should listen to his
personality shift. Like that is who he is.
It's not a character. You should listen to his earlier music. I mean, it's kind of like that.
I didn't know he did music.
Oh, big! You never heard Cat Scratch Fever?
I knew that song. I didn't know it was Ted Nugent.
That's Ted Nugent.
I'm telling you because I've only known him through all the hunting circuits and everything like that. Like,
I think this will be a fun
the hunting
thing
TV
for,
shows
for people to, I guess, realize that about you.
I knew he played music, but I didn't know it was like
he's a big time. Yeah. Like yeah, huge Stranglehold. That's been one of his bigger songs. I like Hey Baby. That's
I know he's
a good
up
one.
In Michigan right now. Ooh. Fighting about deer regulations.
One of my favorite Ted Nugent song is Wango Tango.
Which is okay, Ted Nugent review.
If you've not heard it at home, turn on Wango Tango right now. Pause this, turn on Wango Tango, and then come back. We'll give you time. All right, we're back. How was it? Pretty good, huh?
Gosh. Oh, before we continue on. What all stuff have we got to promote? Let people know. We got links below for the Arkansas Cryptic Fest for our live show.
Yes,
with the Believing in the Bizarre podcast before you mess up their name.
Okay, well, let's do one at a time. Arkansas Cryptic Fest in North Little Rock.
June 6th.
North Little Rock, Arkansas with Drunken Cryptids podcast. Matthew Orton's the one putting it on, hosting it, and putting it all together. Amazing guy. It's going to be an amazing event. June 6th, find your tickets and links below. The following weekend, we'll be back home in our hometown of Ada, Ohio, at the ONU, Ohio Northern University, and we'll be believing in... Or shoot, did I just say it wrong?
Believing in the Bizarre.
I did it right. Believing in the Bizarre with Crypts of the Corn together. Presenting the Bizarre Cornfield, a live show where we each will be giving our own presentation and answering questions afterward. We'll hang out before, we'll hang out after. So if you've been itching to come see us or meet us and talk to us, that's the best chance to do it because you get up close and personal time with us to talk and hear us present live. And we like to also offer videos when we do live presentations. So it's a little bit more than what you get with our Silky's soft, soothing voices. You get the video to go behind it too. So that's this summer. That's the nearest thing coming up for us where you can come see us. But later in the year, we'll be at the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival.
I just Texas B.
And the Ohio Bigfoot Jamber 3.
Jamber 3!
And the other one we'll be speaking at would be in the end of September, the Indiana Bigfoot Conference.
Yep.
We'll be speaking at that for the very first time. What town is that in? I forget already.
Knoxville?
Or I forget right now.
It's either Nashville or Knoxville.
Either way, look up the Indiana Bigfoot Conference. You'll find a nice flyer for us with AI photos of us on the front.
Gosh.
That just cracked me up.
I wouldn't have told anybody. I like it when people find it.
And then, well, yeah, I know. Like, but if you don't know to look, like, now you got something to look for. Look for the Indiana Bigfoot Conference flyer and find the AI photos of us. It's fantastic. Because it looks just close enough like somebody, but it's clearly not us.
If you just looked at it, it looks like us.
Yeah, if you like look at it for like a split second.
Yeah, if you're not staring at it, you're like, oh yeah, Crimson Corn.
If you like jump in the air and you know do a jump and do a full 360, and in that spin you see it, yeah, it's Crimson Corn.
It looks enough like us. Oh, and we're going to talk about the Beast of Jevu Dan. So you don't remember anything about the Beast of Jevu Dan?
I don't think I do. Maybe I'll get refreshers when you start telling me.
So it was in the 1760s. A wolf-like monster known as the Beast of Jevu Dan reportedly killed hundreds and hundreds of people in horribly gruesome fashions.
Ooh, okay.
And to this day, nobody's exactly sure what it was.
So where is Jevu Dan?
France.
Oh, my gosh. Sacré bleu.
Oh, did I tell you I figured out what the Beast of Jevu Dan was? Like, I actually have figured it out.
Well, you can't tell us now. You got to wait till the end.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Through research, in 1764, the Beast of Jevu Dan, in 1764 rendering of the Beast of Jevu Dan called The Picture of the Monster That is Devastating Jevu Dan. There's just, you know, it's one of these famous paintings you can look up of this thing. It kind of looks like a big wolf monster thing.
It's called the...
It's the translated name is... Picture of the monster that is devastating Jevu Dan. 1764. Between 1764 and 1767, something evil stalked the quiet hills of Gévaudan, France. It was so-called the Bête de Gévaudan, or the Beast of Gévaudan, attacked and killed hundreds of people in this period, often completely tearing out their throats or crushing the back of their skulls.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So not only is this thing attacking humans and like a lot of people, it is, the way it is doing it is horribly gruesome.
Yeah, that's the word I was going to use.
No one knows exactly what it was or how to even stop it. For 3 years, the beast terrified villagers in the southern France region. And for 3 years, hunters came from far and wide to try to track it down. Even King Louis XV got involved.
I think that would be the ninth.
The ninth.
No, wait, XV, sorry. XV, 15.
King Louis the 15th got involved. Which is odd, which we'll talk about that. What was I saying? It's the king did not care.
Okay.
About a lot of things in the rural countryside of France. So it was odd that he cared a lot about this.
Well, I mean, if you're ruling over a kingdom and you got a beast that's taking all the grunt work away, I mean, he probably had like 1 pea less than normal on his plate. And he's like, wait a minute, something needs to be done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's talk about, oh, sorry. Although something was killed by the end of the 1760s, they put an end to the attacks that killed over 100 people and some reports up to 300 people. The mysterious Beast of Gévaudan endures. Was it mythical? A lion? A bear? Or simply the product of mass hysteria? Let's get into the story. So far, what's kind of your picture? Rural France, 1760s. Gévaudan is not like tiny. It's a village of like 500 or 600 people.
Yeah, it's not like Paris though.
No, but yeah. I mean, it's still like a trading farming community. Like,
yeah.
There are people here.
Right.
This is later on in the story, we'll talk about that this may have been happening in more remote villages first.
This is just the first.
And then it worked its way to Gévaudan.
Yeah.
So the beast maybe didn't start its attacks in 1764.
Yeah.
But that's when it got to a village big enough that people
took notice,
or word could travel. Because if your village is only 50 people and it kills 50 people in one summer, who's going to tell?
Well, nobody.
Yeah.
Dead men tell no tales.
Dead wolf eaters. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the first attacks. Until 1764, Gévaudan was a quiet region, safely secluded in the mountains of the Marja in the south of France, largely cut off from the outside world. Life there was considered some of the most peaceful in the country until the spring day of that year. The description of the beast published in November of 1764, it reads, a picture of the fierce and extraordinary beast that eats girls. So that's another piece of artwork you can look up. I feel like
I'm not going to look that one up.
I feel like the French names are much prettier.
Oh, yeah. Then when they're translated.
When they're translated, they're like 2 sentences long.
Yeah.
A J. Smith wrote of the monster of the Gévaudan, a young woman watched a herd of cattle on the spring day of 1764, claimed that something had tried to attack her. She described the beast as being like that of a wolf, yet not a wolf. Mm. So that's your first description. It was like kind of like a wolf, but it wasn't a wolf.
Okay. Fair.
Very apt.
Yeah.
And said she had only escaped with her life because her herd of cattle had defended her.
Oh, nice.
So it was starting to chase her. Basically, this thing was like chasing her across the field.
And then their cattle came up.
Yeah, and they kind of herded up and circled around her. And it pushed it off.
Okay.
That didn't work for too long. This thing gets meaner and meaner. 2 months later, a young shepherdess. Say that. Say the word shepherd, but for the female.
A shepherdess?
Yes. A shepherdess was not as lucky as the first girl. On June 30th, something attacked and killed 14-year-old Jenny Bolet while she was watching over her family's livestock.
Okay.
The village might have been uneasy or might have uneasily dismissed this incident as par the course. Shepherding at this time was considered dangerous work, and attacks or predators were not very uncommon.
Okay.
Because there were wolves and other animals in the region. So it wasn't as strange, you know. They weren't happy about it, but it was just like it is a part of life.
I think I figured it out.
But on August 8th, another girl was killed. And with her last breath, she described the animal that killed her as a horrible, monstrous beast.
Well, that don't help nobody.
She's dying and she's laying there.
Yeah.
14-year-old like, girl, guts ripped out.
Give us some good info before you kick the bucket.
Was it a hyena?
Yeah, tell us.
And she's like, I don't know what that is.
Well, it was in French, so she was like,
El hyena. Oh, no, that's...
That's Spanish, I think.
Spain's close to France.
Un hyena.
There un.
Yeah.
No, it's like, un lion.
Yeah, that's what you're over here saying. Un lion?
Well, I don't know what that is.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like dying. But no, so why this is kind of important is the girl knew what wolves were, knew some of the local predators and everything like that.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like the fast version of that. But she basically, all she could say it was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the normal local fauna that she was dealing with.
That she's used to, yeah.
But yeah, so that, you know, the attacks continue. There's also another one you could look up, the 1964 artist impression of the monster attacks. It's kind of like the English name of it for the paintings. There's a lot of paintings of this. This was very like popular to paint.
Well, in France, of course, the Louvre, you know.
From there, the attacks kept coming. At the end of August, a young boy watching sheep disappeared, only to be found half eaten, ripped apart.
Oh, darn it. I was like, that's going to be the worst magician act ever.
What?
For my next trick. He vanishes, and they're like, oh, clap, and then they turn around, he's half eaten, like,
just half gone
in the field, like, just laying there.
Just the top vanishes.
Yeah, then he drops the curtain, and it's just, like, his body,
yeah,
all dodge ripped off.
I'll disappear.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have practiced more.
Well, no, the Beast of Jeffy John got him, just no one saw it.
And this is kind of the way this kid, oh, we'll have to put a gore warning on the front of this, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, oops.
It gets worse.
Oh, okay.
So this is really, really reminiscent of The Land Between the Lakes, this little boy.
Oh.
How he's described.
So maybe I shouldn't make too many jokes about it.
Oh, I mean, we'll need some humor.
Yeah, fair.
Keep in mind, this happened 400 years ago.
Oh, so it's past the what's that called? What's it called when the crime's committed and it's too long to prosecute anymore? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm the words.
I'm blanking on it too, but it's like that, but for jokes. It's happened long enough ago. It's not too soon no more.
Statute of limitations.
There we go. It's past the statute of limitations.
Statute.
Statute of limitation. I like statue better. I just picture it's something I can see and touch, you know? It's a statute of limitations. That's so dumb. I'm sorry.
Gosh. But no, it was really described as like the Land Within the Lakes killing of that little girl, where it was like, half of him was over here.
Yeah.
And the other half of him was over here.
That's bad.
And the guts were eaten.
Okay,
so,
it literally
ripped him in half and wanted the organs.
Is there any chance it could be the same creature, type of creature?
As?
The Land Between the Lakes?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Uh-oh.
Like werewolf, dogman-esque?
If that's what
it was. How odd.
I mean, we don't really know what the Land Between the Lakes was for sure.
No, I know it could rip a guy in half.
Well, we know it did.
So the attacks kept coming. One of these attacks claimed the life of his first adult victim, a 36-year-old woman in Arcans Parish, who met her grisly end just a few steps of the safety of her doorway from her house.
Dang.
Now, this is, keep in mind, animals aren't dumb. Where attacking a person like out with like watching attacking kids first off, these are very animalistic traits where it's attacking vulnerable kids first. It's following livestock herds first.
Yeah.
Most animals avoid livestock. We've talked about this many times. A lot of predators avoid livestock because they know it's guarded by people, and people aren't fun to mess with.
Right.
So you really only see this in times of stress or duress.
Mm-hmm.
Where these predators start moving on to livestock herds. When you look at mountain lions out west, where they're moving on to sheep herds and even wolves and those kind of things, it's not common for them to purposely target livestock unless there's an abundance of food.
They're desperate.
They're injured. I just was watching the video of the man-eating tiger they have in a zoo where both his canines broke and he killed like 400 villagers.
Oh, gosh.
Because he was injured. So he could no longer hunt big game.
Oh, so he's just going after whatever he could get.
Yeah, he's just going after people because it was the only thing he could kill.
That makes sense.
And he was like still, like they were like attacking people at the fence and stuff like that. They couldn't get him to eat for months because he got so hooked onto people.
Oh, that's terrible. Did they put him down?
No. You can go look at him. They need him.
That's interesting.
But yeah. So she is literally not out in the field. She's not walking down a path. She's like 8 feet out of her front door and gets just ripped apart.
Okay, that's terrible.
And I'm putting this here. I don't want to go too because we're not like a really graphic podcast, but every one of these attacks is gruesome and grizzled and
bad.
Yeah. And just destroyed. The corpses are destroyed.
Yeah. It's not like it knocked him out or anything ever. Yeah. And that was it.
And when we start looking at culprits, that's very important.
Okay.
Because even here in Ohio, right, I deal with poultry a lot, where you look at the aftermath of a livestock killing.
And see
what. And you could determine what predator did it.
Right. Like a fox, if it got into a chicken pen at all.
Versus a dog, wild dog versus a coyote versus a raccoon versus a mink versus a weasel versus a possum.
They all leave their own signs.
Yeah. The way they eat or consume or how they take things or they don't take things or what they target first. Which like coyotes and wild dogs are in coyotes can be kind of hard to tell apart. It's just like dogs are one of the messiest. They just destroy carcasses.
Well, grab and shake.
Grab and shake and break it apart. They just want to break it into as many pieces as possible. When, you know, you look at a mink that will crawl into a carcass to eat.
Oh, gosh.
So like when mink kill turkeys, you really only find like the hole in the neck.
Where they went in?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Efficient.
Yeah.
Silent snipers.
She just walked out of her door. So now residents of Jevodon were convinced that it was a monster.
What is? I mean, it is.
It killed, you know, it killed like a half dozen kids and like, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
And then it killed a lady like 4 feet out of her door, an adult woman.
All right, we got a problem.
Like, yeah.
That's, she must have been someone of importance in this little village.
I'm picturing like a Holga. Like it was just this monster woman, like this body lifter.
Oh, she held the whole town together. Like,
and like, so when they came around and she was ripped apart, they're like, oh,
she ran the local inn.
Yeah. Hildy?
Some people will get, if you're on our Patreon, you'll get that reference.
So yeah, the Beast of Jevodon was picking off locals one by one at an extended rate now. So it seems to like be picking up speed. Whatever this creature is getting more and more confident with each kill. It's coming closer to villages, coming closer to other people while it's killing.
Right. Doesn't care.
You see, this is even when we start talking about even some serial killer stuff, which will, you know, that's an option for some of this, is that they have like these exploding phases, like their phases of being a serial killer.
Oh, okay.
Where they start like mass killing.
Yeah.
Because they get this, the times between kills get faster when it comes to human serial killers. The way they kill gets faster and they start getting sloppier to where they have these like explosion moments. Or that's when they probably, the most serial killers get caught at those when they kill like 8 people in a week.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much evidence now. But each serial killer is kind of different with how long those incubation periods are. Some of them are decades where they, you know, they only kill once a year.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's true monsters.
Yeah.
We're talking about true monsters.
Oh, yeah.
They're threatened by this terrified monster. The people of Jevodon prepared their massive response. Jean-Baptiste Demol, the captain of the local infantry, and Eldo Lafoot, the regional government delegate, were joined by 30,000 volunteers to hunt the Beast of Jevodon down.
30,000?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of remember that now.
And what Lafoot wrote, everyone is on guard. A fear continued to grip Jevodon. Lafoot was tasked with coordinating the official response to the crisis. He had hoped to establish in each parish a permanent hunt where everyone between 8 and 10 people on constant patrol. So you run on that, you're like each parish, so each little region in this Jevodon is going to have a permanent hunt where it's constantly 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
There's a group of 8 to 10 people hunting this thing.
Okay.
And this is to either ward it off or catch it. because it's getting so bold and so dangerous. Like, this is,
it needs,
it's killing people like on their patios.
It's got to be taken care of now.
It's killing people in their barns at this point.
Killing people when they're on the pot in their outhouse.
Yeah.
Killing people when they're baking their baguettes.
It happened.
It's killing people when they're fitting their berets.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he found that many of the villagers were too timid for this task.
Yeah, of course. I mean, naturally, they've always been that way. Okay, I'll stop.
Oh, the French.
The French.
Those willing, I'm like, you know about Jevudan?
Yeah, they're timid people.
Well, I mean, by this point, like, several dozens peoples have died.
Yeah, neighbors and, well, so fellow villagers.
The response for the government through this whole story is slow and slow and slow. And so by the time they're like, yeah, let's go hunt it. The villagers are like, we don't go outside.
You go hunt it. Yeah.
We're not paying taxes until that's dead.
Ooh, we should do that. I might try that.
Until the wolf monster's dead?
Yeah.
You just got to make a wolf monster first.
All right.
Those willing to help, however, were paid 20 sous per day. S-O-U-S. Sous?
S-O-U-S? Sous?
Sous. 20 I don't know sous per day.
I don't know what that's.
It's their coins.
Excuse me. I never heard that. Lafleur
was also convinced, or his superiors, the professional soldiers, were needed to hunt this beast. So, yeah. He was, like, trying to convince the uppers that, like, yeah, this is an actual monster that... This isn't just a bad wolf.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have some big game hunter, like trophy hunters, to be there.
They come. And before October came to an end, all officers of the public police were ordered to provide aid to the captain. They scoured the countryside, laid dozens of traps with poison bait, and even had some volunteers dress up as women in hopes to attract the beast of Jevudan walking alone at night.
So they just... They
Scooby-Dooed it.
Yeah, they didn't even... just have themselves walking. They had to dress up like women to seem vulnerable, I guess.
At this time, it was pretty much only attacking women and children.
Okay, fair. So at least go with what it's going after.
Yeah, so whether it fit, you know, you had to wear a bonnet or whatever. And, you know, but I like to picture the full on, like they put melons in a shirt.
No, the whole thing.
The bonnet. And, you know, yeah. Ho, ho, help.
And this thing comes running around. They turn around and they rips the wig off and the beast just stops like, ah!
It's the Inquisition.
Like, I've been had!
Yeah.
And then stab.
Ah, darn it.
Yeah.
Swipe or no swiping. So they scour the countryside. The men were highly motivated. In addition to wanting to stop the beast, they were also hungered for after this high money reward that the king had offered for the beast. According to Smithsonian Magazine, it was equal to a year to 2 years' salary for most of these people.
Oh, that'd be nice. Oh, that'd be so good.
So if you kill this wolf...
You get 40 sous.
Or whatever. You get 2 years' salary.
Yeah. Well, back then, you know...
Which, I mean, it would be, like, even today, like, if you got 2 years' salary,
oh, I would just hand it to you. I would love that.
Like, in that, like, you could do a lot in your life.
Well, at least those 2 years you could.
Well, then I'm like, you could invest and, like, buy land. Like, if you're a farmer at this time, I mean, how much land could you buy if you had 2 years' worth of farming, like, instantly in your hand?
I would just buy a giant, like...
Dog?
A dog?
Yeah, and use it to hunt people.
Like Clifford?
No, like the Beast of Jevudan.
Oh, okay.
But although a group of these hunters reportedly stumbled upon the beast many times, they failed to shoot it. Or failed to shoot it dead.
Mm.
What happens when you injure an already dangerous animal?
It leaves and never comes back.
Oh, okay. They reported the beast was too cunning and too powerful to be subdued by bullets.
Uh-oh. We've heard of that before.
Now, that could be, like, that's Sherman, you know, Sherman Ranch, Skinwalker Ranch, kind of giant black monster. Also, they could have injured it, and that was why the violence got turned up to 50.
It could have been. Or what if it had bones like Bigfoot, and it just deflects it off? Just
bounce it off. I mean, we're talking about, like black powder guns. We're not talking like 50 cal BMGs from
so it's just
the 1970s.
It's basically like a slingshot.
No, but I mean,
I'm joking.
I don't think you're killing a rhino with one.
Well, maybe.
Hit it in the eye.
Yeah.
Hunters who are in pursuit have neither been able to stop it because it's more agile than them, said local French paper in 1764. Nor lure it into their traps because it suppressed them by its cunning. Nor encounter it in combat. when it presents itself to them, because of its terrifying appearance, weakens their men's courage despite their vision, set in their hands shaking, neutralized in their skill.
Mm.
So what this paper is saying, whether you know it's yellow journalism or not, is that when they seen the so they couldn't catch it, it would not take any of the baits or the traps or the poison. Like they were putting poison baits and leg snares and wolf snares everywhere.
All out there, yeah.
And they're killing wolves at this time. I want to make that very clear.
Okay.
Is that there wasn't supposed to be any wolves like left in the area, and they had killed, I think by this point, like 6 wolves.
Okay.
So,
I think that
normal wolves.
Yeah. I think it's, I got a theory. I don't want to spoil it yet.
So they're saying even some of these groups of like 8 to 10 people that came in contact with were too scared to shoot at it or try to kill it.
Yeah.
Because it was a monster. Whatever this thing was, they just had no idea what they were looking at.
It's an alpha wolf.
So, and keep in mind, these guys knew what wolves were. Like these people that are coming in contact, seeing this.
Yeah.
Know what wolves are. The wolves were in France at this time. Or were at the verge of not being in France at this time, but still knew what a wolf was.
Mm.
And then people had dogs. Like, it's not like it's, you know, dog-like. A wolf is dog-like.
Right, no.
The people that are seeing this are adamant that, yeah, I guess it's kind of like a wolf, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of deal is, but, you know, describing it as this big black monster.
I know what it is. I know.
What do you think it is?
I can't ruin it because I'm right. I know I'm right.
Dullahan described the beast as having a chest as wide as a horse.
Okay, that's pretty big.
A body as long as a leopard's, and red fur with
a tail,
black stripes.
Oh, okay. A red fur with black stripes, like a tiger, kind of.
Huh. Interesting. Another witness claims that it could walk on its hind legs. Do you know any furred, striped animals that can walk on their hind legs for short periods of time that have a big round chest cavity?
Tony the tiger.
Hmm. It also laughed like a madman.
They're great.
I made it the laughing part.
Oh, okay.
Now you really can't think of any. Tigers, we'll talk about tigers.
I mean, Tony walks on 2 feet, broad-chested. Switch from eating people to eating cereal.
Perhaps hoping to excuse the hunter's failure, the witness also said the beast's skin could not be penetrated by bullets.
Okay.
So whether that people are saying that because they're like, we never shot at the thing, we were too scared. And they were like, yeah, bullets bounce right off it. Or it was actually like, whatever it was, you know, tough skinned or whatever like that. It was, you know, it may have not been bouncing off it, but you mentioned with bone densities and stuff like that. And we're talking about casted lead balls at this time for guns. So unless you like get in between the ribs or something, like if it is a large animal.
Yeah.
Bones can deflect most of that. I mean, it will kill it eventually from either infection or, you know, if you break a bone and stuff like that. Lead being injected to your body is not great.
It's bad, yeah.
It's just not going to die right then and there. Even hunters who came from afar had absolutely no luck. A father and son team came all the way from Norway who had claimed to have killed 1,000 wolves in their area.
I wish you would have said Sweden.
Came to Jevudan to help. But they couldn't even manage to kill the beast. They killed a couple normal wolves.
Huh.
And they were a bunch of these wolf hunters that came out of the north where there still were big populations of wolves.
Yeah.
Were like, I seen a wolf. Like this is not what they do.
So they all see it?
A lot of them seen it or seen the signs. Several times people were saying they found the den of this creature because there was just crunched up human bones in it.
Why don't they just fill it with logs and light on fire like they did?
Because he didn't sleep in there. Like the giant ground sloths are lazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. You just wait. Wait for nighttime, then light it.
As awareness of the Beast of Jevudan spread, locals fought back. And in January of 1975, a group of children led by a 10-year-old jock were said to have driven off the beast with sticks.
Oh my gosh.
Earning a reward from the king himself.
Ah, that's all fooey.
In addition, Parfifex was given an education paid by the crown, which was the kid, Jock. He led this group of boys that people said they seen it. The beast was like coming and they like attacked the beast and drove it off with sticks. The king gave the kid an award and paid for his education.
Mm.
Now, for this king is, you know, very famous for not giving a hoot about a lot of the countryside.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money, first off. 30,000 of the king's men went down there to hunt it. You know, we're talking captains and commanders and police and everything.
All the king's horses, all the king's men
are out here looking for this thing.
And they couldn't.
Well, why? Why do you think the king cares so much about 100 or 200 villagers dying in remote nowhere?
Probably wanted to capture the beast, use it for his own.
Huh. That's interesting.
Is that what you were going to say?
No, but it's an interesting idea.
Oh, then what?
Later that year, a young woman named Marie Velvet was crossing the river. The river Digis, is that, I think is how you pronounce the river, with her sister when the beast attacked. During the encounter, Velvet struck the beast with a bayonet, impaling it in the chest.
Oh, nice.
So she got a good stab at it.
Yeah.
The beast fled. Velvet became known as the Amazon, or the Maid of Javudan.
Nice.
So she kind of got, as she stabbed this thing, there's blood everywhere. A couple people said, yeah, obviously her sister was like, yeah, this giant black striped monster came out of the woods and tried to eat us, and she stabbed it with a bayonet and it ran away.
It was probably just like a dead, like, something on the side of the road.
Normal wolf. They or just, a big fox.
Just something. Yeah, something. Or what do they have over there? They don't have raccoons, but they have like a, what's like their kind of rodent pest?
Oh, hedgehogs.
There we go. It's just a hedgehog. She big stabbed. Hedgehog. And they had blood on it. And she's like, look.
Foxes kind of take their raccoon niche.
Ah, okay, there we go.
As far as, you know, getting into trash and being, like, mischievous and yeah. getting in your house, that's foxes. Okay, so yeah, she's known as the Amazon or the Maid of Javudan.
Mm.
But as attacks continued, the French king, what'd you say, Louis the 15th?
Yeah.
XV?
XV, yeah, 15.
Became extremely personally involved. Convinced that the Beast of Javudan was too much for these locals to handle, he sent his personal bodyguard. Now, who do you think the king's personal bodyguard is?
Is it the mountain from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it is a 71-year-old man who is a gun bearer named Francis Antonio.
Named Francis and Antonio?
No, Francis Antonio.
Oh, Francis Antonio.
71 years old. I'm not saying there's no 71. I know 71-year-olds that could whip me. But you're the king.
That's your guy. He's probably had him since he was 8.
But do you think it's his actual personal bodyguard, or do you think he's just sending some guy he has to shut these people up?
I bet you this guy is.
And like, he's just like, make sure you get everyone over there. To everybody, you're my personal bodyguard.
It probably is his personal one.
And it's like, he's just the janitor.
Like I said, it's probably the same one he had when he was like born. And
yep. It's just, yeah, like, he's been with him his whole life.
This 40-year-old man. Yeah. Now he's 70, but the king, it's taking, all the king knows.
He's been taking care of him
yeah,
forever.
It's my guy. It's I my trust guy. Him. So yeah. He's a crippled old man just comes like walking out. I'll get him. Or it's in French.
Oui, oui.
Je voudrais un beast of Javudan.
Boom.
And
carrying a blunderbuss,
yeah,
full of forks.
Gosh,
well, forks and glass.
I gotta know, did he kill him?
71-year-old to the region in September. At first, Antonio seemed to be the right call. He and his men shot and killed a gigantic wolf.
Okay,
they had it stuffed and collected the reward.
So it wasn't even it.
So yeah, Antonio gets out there. He's like him and his man. They immediately find the den. They find the like crushed up human bones. They're hunting around. They kill a wolf that's like 2.5 times bigger than any wolf ever killed in the region. They get it stuffed for proof.
Yeah.
And then they get the reward. And then they head home.
Nice.
But about a month after that, the attack started up again.
Oh, so they missed. Wasn't the right one.
This time, the beast seemed extremely more fierce and more fearless.
Well, yeah, because they just killed his or her or his partner. I don't know.
Maybe a mate.
Yeah, mate, that's the word.
It attacked and killed scores of people, like sometimes 4 or 5 people in one night.
Uh-oh.
You just imagine opening up like to go into town and there's just like 8 people laying in the street, like dead. Exploded.
It'd be like...
Not even just dead. Like I'm talking like ripped massacre. Apart.
Like like on Metal Gear Solid when you go down that hallway and you first meet Gray Wolf.
Yeah, and he rips you apart.
Well, at least the bodyguards that were in the hallway are all just mangled.
But you imagine being Antonio being coming back to the king and being like, I got him. I got him, sir. And the king gives you the big reward, and he's like, oh, so happy. And then like a week later, you start getting reports like, yeah, like 30 more people died. He's like, those are old reports.
Yeah. Honestly, it was like that was like me this past weekend at the bowling alley. Not you. I had a problem with the bowling alley.
Oh, that.
And this motor, I had a motor that was going bad. It's getting red hot, and it would kick out. So I spent time like rewiring it, and I found a broke wire like to the plug-in and all this fun stuff, and I swapped all the wiring out and put in a new relay switch for it, fired it up, ran like a dream, brand new. Like, it was fine. I ran it for like 10 cycles, no problem. I'm like, all right, I think I'm done here. This was at night. So the next morning, come in, go to work, not thinking nothing of it. And then we have leagues that night, fire it up, and within 15 minutes, it's back to the same old problem. So whatever was causing it, it was, in. I don't know.
Was it the Beast of Jevudan?
It's not the Beast of Jevudan, but I thought.
You go back there and there's an 800-pound wolf on top of the bowling machine.
Like biting it.
No! Come on, get out of here.
Shoot it and stuff it.
Shoo!
I got the problem, and then it was doing it again.
It's the second Beast of Jevudan.
Son of a.
So like I said, this time it was like horrible. Like six people in a night, like exploding.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like, the Beast of Jevudan reign and terror didn't end until June 19th of 1967. Yeah, 300 years. No, 1767. When a local farmer, whom Antonio had earlier thrown in prison for leading him into a bog, shot and killed a huge wolf.
Oh.
So Antonio, the king's guy. Threw this guy in prison, this farmer in prison.
Okay.
Because when they were guiding him in the area, he led him into a bog.
Oh, okay.
So he did not like this guy.
Yeah.
This farmer, like 2 years after, like people are dying every night.
Yeah.
Or every other night. And like, he's shot a gigantic wolf and killed it. Huge.
The farmer or Antonio?
The farmer killed a huge wolf.
Okay.
Now, but before I continue that, imagine like it's the one night the wolf didn't kill anybody and you go out and you're like, nobody's dead. Is it over?
Yeah.
Is it finally gone? And then the next night kills eight.
Yeah.
Nope.
False alarm.
But yeah, he shot and killed another huge wolf. When residents cut open this wolf, though, they found several human remains inside.
Uh-oh.
Thus, the Beast of Jevudan seemed to have been killed at last and the attacks stopped.
Or did it?
But the mystery surrounding the eerie story has endured. To this day, no one is entirely sure what terrorized the people in Jevudan in the 1760s. But there are several theories. And before I continue, there's a lot of theories. But there's also like several things that happen that I will add in here that are, you can't substantiate.
You can?
Can't.
Oh, can't. Okay.
So I've heard other podcasts, like, it's kind of like a pick your ending. And we're talking about something like that's books. Like 350 years old.
Yeah.
So it's getting to the point where I have no idea what is true. We're going to talk about the guy with the belt. We'll talk about the serial killer and the trained monsters. But you had something you wanted to add?
Trained monsters?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just thinking, if I was in France and I wanted to enjoy a nice
and actually
baguette.
Make their food edible.
And make their food edible. I would reach across the counter and in my cupboard, I'd pull out a bottle of Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot breath, raw garlic dust, freeze-dried garlic, 100% pure garlic with a hint of sea salt. I think it's our pink Himalayan salt. That's what it is. And that's all it is. It's an amazing garlic product. Goes on everything, you know, food-wise, that you like having garlic on.
You can put it on non-food things.
Yeah, I guess you could. You could put it on, I don't know.
Put it on a hat.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Put it on a mat.
Put it on a cat?
Mm-hmm.
Cats like garlic. No, I mean, I don't know. Flavors of the Forest, you can find it at flavorsforest.com/corn. If you like garlic powder, this is the number one product on the market. It's hands down. I swear by it. I just can't praise it enough. Great product. Great people. flavorsforest.com/corn.
That's good. So yes, the Beast of Jevudan.
Yep, I know what it is.
What could it be?
I know what it is.
Do you, I mean?
I do.
All right. Go ahead.
I don't want to ruin it though.
Go ahead.
All right. This is a wolf, but it's a wolf that's hybridized and it has hybrid vigor. It's hybridized with one of the local dogs, or maybe that, whatever that big giant wolf thing was. It's just that. It's hybrid vigor. And that's it. That's all I got. I think that's it.
Now, you kind of skirted three of the public theories.
Skirted? Meaning?
Like, well...
Or kind of touched on them?
Yeah.
But, okay.
So, let's talk about one of the unsubstantiated things.
Yeah.
Is that it was a wolf-dog hybrid. If anybody's ever seen a wolf-dog, yeah, they're highly regulatory, regulated here in Ohio. They are massive.
Mm-hmm.
They are scary, and they can become very scary. So one thought is that that's what it was.
Hybrid.
It was a wolf-dog hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, one that had joined a pack of wolves and had shown somehow lost the fear of humans or became injured. And that giant wolf that was killed was its mate.
Yeah.
And that's why it was seen kind of like some of the Dogman in Michigan. It was seen with wolves sometimes, like normal wolves. And this thing was just a monstrous beast.
Yeah.
And it was a wolf dog or even a wolf hound, which is a breed of giant hunting dog for wolves.
Oh, for wolves. Like, and then they crossbred.
I mean, we're not too far from like where Great Pyrenees came from and other giant dogs had come from.
And two, like if it became like the alpha of the pack, you know, they usually hang around the back, you know, and they're hunting, killing all these wolves. What if they killed its whole pack and it's just the last and just mad?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So that is one of the theories. Another theory is that it is a trained monster.
Trained monster. Okay.
There was one of these wolf hunters. Supposedly had a couple pet wolf dog monster hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one letting them kill people. And he kept getting paid to go hunt and kill normal wolves.
Okay.
And that he was the one, he was that farmer basically, that eventually came and shot his actual, he came and shot his own pet essentially.
Ah.
Because it was getting out of control and people were looking into it too hard.
Yeah.
And he'd already gotten thrown in jail. Because there's a conspiracy when he led Antonio around.
Did he mislead him?
That he was misleading him.
Yeah.
And that's why Antonio got fed up and finally threw him in jail. Because Antonio felt like he was like taking purposely away from the areas of Wolf was seen.
Right, yeah. He was just, he had that carrot on his stick.
Yeah.
And he was leading him the wrong direction.
And he threw him in jail. And then that's when, once he got thrown in jail, then Antonio went and killed a giant wolf.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
So that's one thought, is that this farmer may have been, that may have not been who he said he was.
He was Joe Exotic.
It was Joe Exotic.
Breeding wolves hybrids and letting them run free and kill people so he can come in and scoop the other wolves up for a bounty.
Another thought is it's just natural wolves. Like this is just a pack of wolves that is killing people, which I absolutely do not believe.
Yeah, it's very out of behavior for a whole pack.
If it would have stayed with kids... And if it would have stayed like towards the livestock, shepherds, and those kind of like, that's one thing. Because there's like, that's a dangerous job. You're putting yourself in contact as protector of livestock.
But coming into the village and getting people off their doorsteps?
That was like when it really, like going into the river to attack people and stuff
that's
like
different,
that.
That's different, yeah. Maybe it has rabies. Was that a thing back then?
Yeah, but I have that on the list.
Oh, crap.
Sick. No. We can talk about that now. Would a rabid animal do this?
Yeah.
Yes, but not for 3 years.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, it wouldn't be a long going.
So rabies has several steps.
Mm.
The second step is the scary one. The one you always hear people talk about
in
the rabies infection. There's like three basic phases of a rabies infection.
Okay.
There's the quiet phase, there's the deranged phase, and then there's the debilitated phase.
Oh, and then the fourth phase, death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then you die. Rabies, you do not normally, it's not like a year's disease.
Right.
Animals that get rabies don't, they normally burn quick.
Yeah.
So some of the early attacks, when you're talking about just this destruction.
They're like the Kurgan from Highlander.
That could be rabies.
He had rabies.
I mean, humans with rabies are terrifying.
That's the Kurgan.
You ever seen it? Like, it's only happened a couple times, and it's...
What, a Highlander?
No, humans with rabies.
Oh, gotcha, yeah, okay.
It's only happened in modern day, it only happened a few times, and it's scary.
It's only happened a few times?
Because we have a shot for it now.
Yeah, I just figured...
Rabies is 100% fatal in wildlife, and then it's 100% fatal in humans after, like, so many hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I knew it was fatal,
die.
But
if you get rabies, you will die from rabies unless you get the shot within... That's why, like, when a dog bites you... And they cut off its head to test its brain matter.
Oh, gosh.
Before you get, like, because there's so little time.
Yeah.
That they can't wait for the test to come back.
Why don't they just give you the rabies shot right now just in case?
They're going to.
Oh, okay.
But there's like crimes and like there's stuff that it's just a thing. Okay. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that
it's just a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the thing. Come on, man.
So I've seen people throw the rabies, kind of a sick animal, rabies. Now, I would believe more of an injured animal rather than a sick animal.
That makes more sense, yeah.
Because an injured, a sick animal is not going to last this long.
No.
And even if it's spreading rabies to other wolves.
Unless it's just sick in the head.
It's going to kill all the other wolves in its pack very quickly.
Okay.
From the biting. So like that intense second phase of rabies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is just biting everything.
Mm.
And going like, you lose fear of everything. You get violent.
Very aggressive, yeah.
And you just, because that's how the disease is hitting the button to spread. It's spreading through saliva.
Mm-hmm.
So it wants things to bite other things.
That's wild.
What, rabies?
Just that idea of that's how it works. Like,
oh, there's a lot of diseases that hijack.
Oh, yeah, your brain, basically. Mm. Yeah. It's just wild that that's a thing, but like, it is.
I can't remember the cat one for people.
Oh, that.
That make you a crazy cat lady.
Yeah, that's a thing. No, it's in their cappy.
It happens. Because it's for mice.
It's wild.
Because it makes mice lose their fear of cats.
That's wild.
It makes them addicted to cats.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, walk right up to cats.
So an injured wolf, let's say it, you know, it was an injured wolf, whether it was in a trap and it was this giant, you know, like you said, the alpha or whatever, and it had killed, you know, the first kids because they were easy.
Yeah.
Or easier. You know, it's not hunting cattle, it's not hunting deer, it's not hunting boar.
And once you get a taste for blood.
Once animals figure out that we are a lot easier to kill than we look.
Yeah.
That's when problems really can start occurring. And then maybe it started teaching its pack mates that humans are easy food. And you really start seeing this towards the end of the Beast of Yavadon killings, where it's really only eating the organs and the brain.
Mm.
So a lot of the attack victims are only missing the brain and like their liver. Which shows that the animal or the thing was taking the choice cuts, let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving the rest to rot.
Yeah.
And that's why it's killing 4 or 5 or 6 people in a night.
Just to get the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because it's not worried about it anymore.
Yeah.
Orcas do this. They're one of the few other animals besides humans that do that, where they'll kill whale calves just for the liver. They don't want any of the meat or anything like that. They just want the tongue and the liver.
I mean, what if it was infected by something? Not like to where it's making it sick, but where, like you said, hijacked its brain, where it just wants to eat that. It needs.
I mean, a lot of those diseases, what we know about.
Yeah.
The animals burn out really quickly because of that. Because there's no concern for calories, you know, saving.
Yeah.
It fries your nerve system.
Okay, fair.
It's your nerve system isn't designed to have somebody else pull on the strings. So
no wonder why we're all crazy.
It drives them crazy quick. I mean, I've been around raccoons that had rabies and stuff like that. I'm not saying there's not a disease out there that could have caused that. Yeah. I just don't know of one off the top of my head.
Or a fungus infection.
I mean, even those, they want the animals to die. You're talking about the cordyceps mushrooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, they get like in the grasshoppers' brains.
That and ants.
Makes them go to water and drown so they can reproduce or whatever.
That's horsehair worms.
Horsehair worms, okay. Not a parasite.
Yeah, they are not great either. Now, the cordyceps makes them either climb to spread their spores.
Ah.
So they climb. They make the ant or the grasshopper climb really high, and then it bursts out of it and spores. So the wind carries the spores. Or there's another cousin of cordyceps that once that makes the ant clip to the end of the grass, so a cow eats it.
Huh.
And then it's part of its life cycle is in the cow's digestive tract. And then when the cow poops, snails eat that, and then its rest of its life is in the snail poop.
Wow.
Or in the snail's tract, and then when the snail produces this little mucus ball that ants are addicted to.
So it goes right back around.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's just wolves or injured wolves? Or
I would still lean more towards wolf hybrid.
Yeah, because everybody was very adamant.
Because like you said, if it was a sick wolf or had a disease or something, it would have died from that. And if it was an injured wolf, I don't think it would have been getting all these people so easily or evading, you know, all the people trying to hunt it and all that. It's got to be at least able to escape. So I can't be that injured.
One more of the classical, and we'll get into some of mine, is that it was a serial killer.
Just some guy?
So that one of the stories... Farmer. Yeah, it was him. Now, one of the stories where the farmer had killed a wolf, or it was even, I just forgot his name, the 71-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Had
Antonio.
Antonio. had run into this, where there was a little hut way out there. This guy was putting on a wolf's pelt and running through the woods on all fours. And he was taking a hair belt, like a fur belt, and putting it around his waist to hold the pelt on. And they had shot, one of the times they had shot and killed it, like shot at the wolf and it ran away. They found this guy laying there. It basically said that the devil had given him this belt, this curse. And he has, every time he puts it on, he becomes a monster, but he's addicted to putting it on.
Yeah.
And so there's thoughts that this could have been like lycanthropy, the actual psychological disorder.
Yeah.
Or it could have been, I mean, if you want to go down the real curses, that it was an actual curse with the devil from the Bible. And even just a person that is like serial killers, they want to justify their actions. Modern day serial killers want to justify their actions. And a lot of this fits the serial killer motif. The ramping up, the explosive periods, the shortening of the time scales. And then people saying that they would watch this wolf just stand up.
Yeah, that's the that was the weird little fact there.
Hmm. And then some of the areas the wolf had killed people would have been hard for an animal to get into, like into a barn and into a house and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, hands.
Yeah, you need them to open doorknobs. Did they have doorknobs in 1700s in France?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They actually had some really complicated, like, doors and locks.
Well, France used to be pretty advanced, you know.
So what do you think of that, an early serial killer?
I guess it could be. The only part I would say no to would be the all the hunting parties after it. I mean, if it's a guy.
But and he just takes off the jacket and he starts joining the hunting party.
I mean, yeah, but when they shoot the thing and they're like, oh, it didn't do nothing. If it was a guy, it would do something to him. We're pretty soft. You know what I mean? So, like, bullets, they kind of just go through you or lodge in you. So, I don't know.
You have some of my culprits you've already named, but let's talk about my first one. Hyenas.
Hyena.
Large black stripes.
Yeah, striped hyena.
Round barrel chested.
Hyena.
They stand on their back legs.
Ooh, they do, but...
And they like eating brains.
Okay, but hyenas' tails.
Yeah, they have a short, stubby tail.
Yeah, this thing had a big, long tail, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hyena hybrid with a wolf.
Well, that's just one thing, is it? While there are no present wild hyenas in Europe, we know that they can survive, and they were imported in there for all kinds of menageries. So it could have been an escaped hyena, and this hyena was eating people. I don't actually think it's a hyena, but that's the stripes really made me put the hyena.
Yeah.
You have nailed the culprit I think it was.
Uh-oh. Which it is?
You said it, and you even were making fun of it. You wouldn't get off it. I was trying to lead you away on the hyena one. A tiger.
Oh, shoot. Okay. A tiger. Just a straight
this up tiger. Monster, the size of a horse, that is famous. Tigers get shot. They get meaner every time they're shot.
Yeah, that's true.
We already have an animal that is documented of being injured and eating entire villages.
Yeah.
In 3 or 4 years, eating 400 people.
It still happened. Well,
it happened modern day. The tiger is still alive that did that.
Yeah.
It's in a zoo.
That's wild.
So, how did a tiger get to nowhere, France? Well, that's another part of my theory that I found out why the king was also so invested.
Oh, no. He brought the tiger in, didn't he? And he lost it.
It was his tiger.
So he went to just go get it back.
Now, okay, let's finish the tiger thought.
It is really the Tiger King.
Yes.
Okay, go back. Sorry.
King Louis was the Tiger King.
King Louis Joe.
That's what that is.
King Louis Exotic. 15th.
No, so a lot of these behaviors that we're talking about really, really do fit tigers. The way it's describing red fur with black stripes, a long, thick tail, the size of a horse, extremely fast and quiet. When tigers get injured, they get extremely more violent. So this could have already been a man-eater that was brought in. So let's talk about King Louis. So there was already a menagerie built about 100 years before this in France.
What's a menagerie?
A menagerie is a collection of exotic animals and monsters from around the world.
Oh, okay.
And this was the king's menagerie, so the King Louis prior, which was called the Sun King, was built in 1962 to 1968, but all the King Louis were using this as their holding grounds for...
You mean 17?
No, 16.
Oh, 16.
It was built 100 years before he was the king. It was a different King Louis.
You said 1960. I was
sorry,
like, wait.
1616.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So 100 years before this stuff happened.
Okay.
Now, there were gifts. There were lions. The only way people in France knew what lions were is because he had them in a pit.
Yeah, because lions are, are we talking lions or tigers?
Lions for this part.
Okay. Africa. I mean, those are African animals, right?
But other kings took this, and it was a contest to see kind of who could have the most dangerous. So while the original only had 22 species, through its use of over 150 years, it held over 222 species.
Wow.
And each king would kind of like try to get their own masterpieces, like their own monsters.
And add to it.
These included quaggas, which are extinct in today, royal birds, black-crowned cranes. Cassowaries were popular for being their deadly giant dinosaurs. Lions, hyenas, bears.
Oh, my.
And a couple tigers.
Uh-oh.
But the tigers are notorious for escaping.
Uh-oh.
So, I think that he had ordered a tiger. And if you look at where it's coming from in Asia,
yeah,
it would have came through Jevudan.
Do you think
this tiger broke out
on the way there?
On the way there.
Okay.
And he wanted to cover it up. At first, he's like, all right, because this is the time where kings are getting like kind of beheaded.
Trying to think when in France that happened.
It happened a bunch.
Yeah. But I mean, the big famous one, I don't know. I can't remember.
But he was ordering, so the king, what do we say, Louis XV?
Yeah.
He was ordering animals from Asia.
Do we have receipts?
Yeah, we have receipts. No, but we know that he was trying to build up his menagerie.
Yeah.
And we don't have proof that he ordered tigers, but each king like had some monster, essentially,
right,
as their centerpiece for their menagerie. And it's called the Sun Temple because the way it's designed, it literally looks like a giant sun, like spiral sun.
Oh, okay.
So who was in the middle was like the king's monster. And like some kings picked, like I said, cassowaries and lions, and a couple had tigers and hyenas and bears, you know, just something you could throw peasants in and they would get ripped apart. Not joking.
They would do that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Criminals.
Oh, okay. So much better.
Yeah. Criminals. You didn't pay your taxes on time.
Yep. Criminal. Oh, you're...
If you brush out my cassowary's feathers, I'll forgive your debt.
Yeah. Oh, you
just sit there scraping at the edge.
You were starving and you stole a baguette? Criminal.
Into the pit.
Yeah. No money? Criminal.
You can take the baguette with you.
You're poor? Criminal.
So I really think that either... I really think it was a tiger, but I do think there was a high chance it was a lion as well.
Okay.
Because a lot of rural French people would have probably had no indication of either of those animals existing.
Yeah.
Unless they did go into Paris or, sorry, Versailles.
I mean, I'm more with you on the tire just because the stripes on that one account.
It really described.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of artists drew it later as a wolf.
Yeah.
But if you see some of the... So King Louis XV was the Tiger King. He ordered a tiger. It got out.
Gosh.
An injured tiger. So I really think this tiger came from India, and it was one of their problem tigers.
Oh, and they just sent it. They're like, we'll give this one to the king. All right.
Because catching a tiger sucks, so you're probably going to use one you've already had to catch.
Well, yeah, you'd have one you already have in capacity, right?
Yeah. So it's like, well, we got this one that's a man-eater.
This problem one, yeah.
We ripped out its canines because they did that in some of these zoo animals.
Yeah.
They ripped out their canines, which that one that killed 400 villagers,
yeah.
Guess what its problems were? They had broken canines.
Yeah.
So once they break their canines, they will not go for a big game.
Huh?
They will not do it. So people.
Wow.
So I really think it was a tiger that was going to the king's menagerie the time.
It might have been.
And that's what, because the king took so much into this. It was so weird. And it never...
Like he invested so much time
in
catching it.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, he probably wanted it then, like, to make sure it got in his collection.
I think he wanted to make sure it was dead, so he couldn't come back to him.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
That's why he sent his, like, personal advisors.
Yeah.
To go kill this thing.
Make sure, confirm it was dead.
Go kill this thing.
Yeah.
And they killed a big wolf, and they're like...
Got it.
Yeah. He may not even known what the monster was. He may not have known it was a tiger. Bless you. He may have been a gift or something, bless you, that he ordered from India or China. You dying?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So yeah, that's one thought. Any?
Sorry.
Oh, you're crying.
A little bit of breaks. Yeah, I'm sneezing my guts out.
You're covered in snot. So yeah, what do you think of the tiger? You going tiger?
I like the tiger idea. Yeah, I do. I think, and just thinking of the, there was a Tiger King king. There literally was a Tiger King king. Mm-hmm. That's wild. And of all places, it had to be France.
It's in the Palace of Versailles.
What is?
The court, it's called the Courtyard of Honor, which housed birds, mammals, and reptiles from around the world.
Oh, the menagerie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was a castle-like structure with a pavilion.
Nice.
Bam. So the last kind of thought, there is the man in the belt theory that I already kind of talked about. But dogman werewolves kind of thing. What do you think of those? Like,
I mean, there's a chance, yeah. There's a chance, but like, I don't, well, I mean, I guess that would explain that if they shot at it and it didn't like quite kill it because it's a supernatural being, but beyond that, I'm more towards the hybrid wolf creature or a tiger. I really am on the tiger. I like that idea.
And then the fear people would talk about why they wouldn't shoot at it.
Infrasound. Infrasound. Tigers. Tiger.
I really do think it was a tiger.
Tiger. Bertie.
I don't think it was a dog man. I mean, there is some stuff to point out and look at, like dog man wearing. Yeah. The belt thing. Like I said, I found a couple things on it, but nothing like substantiated through history.
Right, yeah.
Like, yes, one guy said that, yeah, they found a guy wearing a belt. And it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means that, you know, the rest of this, though, there's...
Well, even if it did, that's going to be covered up. I'm sorry. Like, that story will get changed and covered up so you don't know. It really was a guy that was changing.
So I really think this was King Louis the 15th's pet tiger, or tiger that he'd ordered for the menagerie.
Yeah.
And that's somebody sent him a man-eater.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, it kind of adds up. It makes sense.
And tigers are one of like the four animals on the planet that consider humans food immediately.
Yeah.
There's not many.
Tigers.
I'm actually forgetting the third one right now.
I don't know. What's another one? Alligators?
No. Alligators. Most alligators don't think of us as food.
Oh, okay.
Crocodiles. Know. Saltwater crocodiles.
So far off.
They're very different animals.
I know, but it's the same thing.
They're not the same thing.
I knew that would get you all worked up. It's the same thing. It's like any like bugs and spiders. They're all the same.
Polar bears.
Polar bears. That's one. Yeah. So crocodiles, polar bears, tigers, and bears.
There's no bears. That, Kodiak. Besides, that I'm talking.
Oh, wait, like polar always, bears. You already said that.
That always see a human and think it as food. Because saltwater crocs are the big one. Tigers.
Ticks.
Yeah, ticks.
That's the fourth one.
What was
Plum,
it?
Plum it's, Island.
It's some other kind of big cat.
GMO ticks.
But yeah, so if you had to put money on it, what are you doing money on?
Well, I put half my chips on hybrid dog and half my chips on tiger.
I'm putting them all on tiger and letting it ride.
Letting it ride.
Because the menagerie thing, I've never heard anybody talk about that. Because I'm like, yeah, a lot of kings at this time had menageries. It was like a way, so like there's the Royal British...
Like the way to show off your wealth, basically. Yeah.
You know that giant bridge that Jerry talked about from Hillbilly Horror Stories that had the hauntings underneath it?
Oh, yeah.
Some of those were zoo enclosures for the King's Menagerie.
Wow.
This dark pits they put like elephants and lions in.
That's crazy. Times used to be very wild. I mean, they still are, but they were a lot cooler then.
The King just had a closet underneath a bridge that had an elephant in it.
Yeah. And you just order someone to build that huge bridge for you. Like, there you go.
Peasants.
Yeah, fair enough.
Forcing this elephant to eat peasants.
Wild times.
Now, I really do think it was a tiger. I think it was a tiger that the king had ordered for his menagerie, and it got out, and he's like, they're gonna let me eat cake.
I like it.
And they're gonna guillotine him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's killed this whole village. And there is some evidence, I did kind of mention earlier, or a couple smaller villages further up in the mountains.
Yeah.
It could have killed all those people like a couple years before.
Okay.
Because they just kind of, there's some evidence to point out that a village here and a village there kind of just disappeared.
Okay. I mean.
And that happened with tigers. We did our man-eater special. And there was, remember that one village we talked about with the tiger? that it killed every person in this village in like three nights.
Yeah. The one we talked about at the beginning of the episode. Yeah. Yeah.
Like 100 people in this little village. It killed every one of them in three nights.
Like, what's that called?
When, going into houses, it went like, it did not care.
What's it called when like the fox get into the chicken cage and they kill them all?
It's chicken coop madness is what it's called. Yeah.
So maybe it just had that.
Or, yeah, it's like target rich environments. They just go nuts. A lot of predators do that when they get with like livestock because it's corralled.
Yeah.
So they just like,
they see him running and they just got to, instincts kick in, just got to bite its and skull off and
suck out its brains.
Yeah.
All right. I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 26.
Remember, the Beast of Jevadon was a tiger.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.